Welcome to For the Health of It, starring Dr. Jenny Brook, vitality expert and wellness chiropractor at Spinal Corrective Center in Amherst, New Hampshire. She is joined by co-host Dr. Christana and producer Mike Clark. This dynamic, sometimes crazy, sometimes funny, and always entertaining trio will inspire you to eat, move, sleep, think, and live better. You're listening to Raw Talk about full potential living for the health of it.
So good to be back in the studio. We have a very special guest today. Once again, we have Dr. Margaret Miklas. And before we go right into some questions on thyroid health, I want to tell you a little bit about this rock star woman, because I tell you, the more I learn about her, the more impressed I am.
Just a little bit?
Seriously. Dr. Miklas, she's a naturopathic doctor, and she owns a company called Living Natural in Nashua, New Hampshire. And this medical practice is a family practice. It focuses on chronic and infectious disease. And she's a graduate of the National College of Natural Medicine. And she has this advanced training in vector-borne illness, autoimmune, and endocrine disorders. So she sees a lot of patients with Lyme, and consequently a lot of patients with thyroid conditions. She's also on clinical faculty at Kripalu School of Ayurveda. She's a level one Kundalini yoga teacher. And she actually has 4 years completed training at ILADS, which is the International Physicians Training Program with the International Lyme and Associated Disease Society. On top of that, Dr. Miklas is really passionate about Ayurvedic and herbal medicine. So she's developed Blue Buddha Botanicals, which is an herbal line emphasizing individualized organic herbal formulations from around the world. And what's cool about this is she's recently started growing many of her herbs locally here in New Hampshire, and I was able to actually visit the farm with her and speak with the farmer. Pretty impressive. She just got back from a month in India where she was teaching and serving patients there. And while she was in India, she found out that she has been appointed as a board member of the National Ayurvedic Medical Association, which is, again, a rock star move. Very exciting. So congratulations, Dr. Miklas.
Wow, my life is really boring compared to hers.
I know, seriously.
I don't do anything.
Oh, come on, Mike.
Okay,
once come in a while. So, hello, Dr. Miklas. Thank you for coming back with us today.
Yay. Hi, thank you for having me.
Your show that we did, the part one and part two on Lyme disease last year, was such an important show for our listeners. It was just thousands and thousands of people have tuned in and listened to that show and shared it with their friends and relatives around the country and even around some parts of the world. So I'm so excited to have you back to talk about thyroid. I can tell you this is one of those diseases, conditions that is so complicated. And, you know, as a doctor myself, I've delved into it enough to know that there's too much I don't know. And I refer out instead because
I don't even know where my thyroid is.
Okay, so let's talk about that. Okay, so let's dig in and talk about the basics of the thyroid. How about we do that?
Sure. So that sounds great. And I'm sure we'll get an opportunity to talk a lot about all kinds of things related to the thyroid on this show. But one thing I should let you all know of is where this endocrine gland is actually located. And the thyroid actually sits in the neck region right around cervical vertebrae 5 and thoracic vertebrae T1. It's actually one of the largest endocrine glands in the body. And so it's really in this area of your neck, and it has an upward motion as you swallow. So typically when you have a thyroid examination, a doctor might palpate your gland by putting their hand on your neck and asking you to swallow. And what they're trying to establish in that exam is if there's an enlargement, if there's any nodules, which nodules can be fairly difficult to palpate, and or just to see, just generally speaking, what the size of the gland is and how it might feel on touch.
You can actually feel it. So I'm swallowing and holding my hand to the front of my throat, and you can feel it move up when you swallow.
Now I know where it is.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you actually, men, I think, have a little bit more of a difficulty in feeling their thyroid because their gland is typically smaller than a woman's glands. The thyroid gland of a woman is actually typically more larger than a male thyroid gland. So sometimes, you know, the bony prominence that's anterior to the thyroid can be a little more pronounced in men. And mm-hmm. So it's a little more difficult to palpate.
But so it's like under the Adam's apple.
pretty much. But you can still have a good palpation. And certainly if it is on the boggy side or enlarged, usually it's not a difficult thing to be able to, you know, examine.
So what does the thyroid do? I know it's necessary. Like, we have to have one. If we don't have it, we've got to, like, literally be on hormone therapy.
Yes, the thyroid actually is an extremely metabolic gland, and there's mm-hmm. many functions, as we discussed recently in the lecture that I gave, Jenny, at your office. And what I'll tell you is I'd just like to read something because this really spoke to me. And there's so many functions, particularly throughout the entire endocrine system, that start up in the brain with the hypothalamus and the pituitary extending down into the thyroid gland. But there's so much communication throughout the entire body with your endocrine system that really for me to talk only about thyroid function in this show would be very difficult. But I want to read something because this really spoke to me. And I think it would make a lot of sense to everybody, so please bear with me. So all cells in the body are target cells of thyroid hormone. The major function of the thyroid hormone is to stimulate the synthesis of protein once the hormone has entered the cell's nucleus. Also, another function is to stimulate the activity of the cell's mitochondria, which is the powerhouse of the cell. These intracellular organelles are at the sites at which there is controlled exchange of energy. Some energy is conserved for the body's functioning, while the remainder is dissipated as heat. The proportion of energy devoted to each of these processes is controlled by the thyroid hormones. Therefore, cells respond to thyroid hormone with an increase in metabolic activity. So what that really says, and it's actually a fairly, easy thing to understand, the thyroid gland itself and the thyroid hormones actually are accessing every cell in our body. So when we get down to it, when we think about metabolism, we really need to think about the fact that the thyroid is targeting every cell in our body. So every cell in our body has thyroid receptors. And in fact, it's really important to note this, that if for some reason you have to have your thyroid removed, let's say there's a surgical reason that you have to have the thyroid removed, you will always have to be replaced with thyroid hormone for the rest of your life. You will not function without that particular gland unless you have hormone replacement.
Who knew the thyroid was that important?
Yeah, I've actually even read how the hormones of the thyroid regulate glandular activity that ultimately regulate digestion. Like it's all so intimately related.
Absolutely. And then I might just add, just so you all know, just in regards to the fact that, we have the thyroid gland, but above that is the endocrine system. And, so we're talking about a system that is really functioning from your brain going out into the periphery of your body. And certainly each of the endocrine glands have their own mechanism of action and their own functionality. But the reality is there's positive and negative feedback loops that are happening, through the entire endocrine system, and that, we can't really separate this system from the other glands. So when I think of thyroid or when I evaluate somebody's thyroid, I'm actually also really looking at the other gland functionality, primarily because you can have, you can have multi-endocrine disorders, and you really need to be able to establish, if the functioning is going well throughout the entire system.
Something I've heard you say that was really interesting. You talked about thyroid and circadian rhythm. And listeners, if you remember, even just in some of our discussions on sleep cycles, we talk about circadian rhythm. Can you speak into that for a moment?
Sure. Well, I think lots of people think of the adrenal gland, which is a gland that sits on top of our kidneys. It's about the size of a walnut on both kidneys. So we have two of them. And most people think of the adrenal gland being intimately connected with circadian rhythm. And yes, the adrenal produces a hormone called cortisol. And yes, this gland actually follows a circadian pattern, but the thyroid hormone also does. And so our metabolic system is actually really quite dynamic. And there's a pulsatile fashion that we also see with our thyroid hormones. So this is another piece of it. I think oftentimes people mistake just the adrenal gland as having that circadian rhythm, but really we're talking about the whole endocrine system.
So what I'd like to discuss next then, to really make this understandable for our listeners, I'm sure people are thinking, okay, I got diagnosis hypo, or my sister is diagnosis hyper. Why don't we take a break? And when we come back, let's go into how the body can be affected if the hormone becomes low, if the thyroid is hypo, and what would happen if we were hyper. And maybe we can even delve a bit into some of the causes.
Great. Absolutely.
You're listening to Raw Talk about Full Potential Living for the Health of It. Your host is Dr. Jenny Brook, vitality expert and wellness chiropractor at Spinal Corrective Center in Amherst, New Hampshire. If you're in the Southern New Hampshire area, mention this radio show and schedule a health checkup with Dr. Jenny for just $47. That's a $250 value for just $47. To schedule, call 673-5600. That's 673-5600. For more information about Spinal Corrective Center, go to spinalcorrectivecenter.com or call 673-5600. To find a chiropractor in your area, go to www.chiropractic.org/doctorfinder. Now back to Raw Talk about Full Potential Living for the health of it.
We're back. We're talking to Dr. Margaret Miklas about thyroid health, and we were just about to delve into what it would look like if your thyroid became imbalanced, and maybe possibly some of the causes. So why don't we start talking about hypofunction of the thyroid? What would cause the thyroid to not function where it should?
Well, interestingly enough, that's a great question. And one of the things that I want to point out is that hypofunctioning thyroid is most definitely, I would say, in my clinical practice, the most common. So there's a lot to say about it. And one of the things that I would say is, again, we're talking about, you know, metabolic function. So if it's hypofunctioning versus hyperfunctioning, we are looking at some different symptoms. One of the caveats to this, though, is that there are sometimes some crossover. So somebody that has really hyper metabolic functioning can become really fatigued in that process. And somebody with hypometabolic functioning can also become really fatigued. So I just don't want anybody to think like, oh, well, I have this symptom, but I don't have that symptom. It's a constellation of symptoms, and some can be there and some might not be. But in regards to hypometabolic function, you're often seeing several things. One, number one is definitely, I would say across the board, fatigue is a big one. So maybe the person, has a difficult time either sleeping and or waking. Or maybe they need to sleep more and they're still not getting enough rest. Oftentimes you see a weight gain. That's a classic symptom. Constipation, you know, again, hypomobility, you were asking about the gastrointestinal tract. So it has a direct action on, you know, the motility of the tract. So we're talking about hypomobility there. Cognitive function. This is a big one.
Oh,
so
like
some
fuzzy
people,
brain.
Right. And this often gets disguised because if somebody's not sleeping well, or if for whatever reason they're fatigued, maybe their cognitive function is not going to be optimal anyways. But this is something that you will hear, like if you start to hear the person kind of going downhill, or maybe you start treating them and they're doing okay with their thyroid functioning, and then they start to drop off a little bit. It might be that they need to have some adjustment with their medication or with their treatment. Any metabolic function that you're talking about, so dry skin, right? So the skin is really a metabolic tissue. It has a high turnover rate. So oftentimes these people report, like, I have really dry, flaky skin. I've had a lot of weight gain. I'm constipated. I have, cognitive dysfunction. They might also even say, oh, my throat feels full. Every time I go to eat something and I swallow, there's like, it almost feels like there's a fullness, or like I'm choking on something. This is not an uncommon symptom. I would say that it's not in all of the people that I see, but if the thyroid becomes full enough because of, let's say, a goiter or just general enlargement, this is oftentimes a clinical symptom that you might see.
Who knew it could affect so many parts of your body?
I know.
That's crazy.
I know. That's crazy. And what, in your opinion, what are some of the most common factors in causing a hypothyroid? I know that it can be common, say, after a woman gives birth or any time there's a hormonal change in the body.
Definitely. I would say that you often see with women, and again, and we were going back to saying that oftentimes women have a higher incidence and have a larger gland, typically speaking. But what you will see is the changes in hormones. So puberty, menstruation, childbirth, perimenopause, postmenopause, these are times you often see. It's very common to see a thyroid dysfunction happen. And again, the hormones are, they're shifting. And so this is going back to what I said, that the whole endocrine system is really dynamic. So you're looking at a lot of hormone influence coming from the brain going all the way out into the periphery. Causes could be several. Infectious, certainly. One of the things that I'd like to point out is that our soil is actually quite iodine depleted. So iodine is a really important molecule to have. Too much isn't good. Too little isn't good. There's a lot of people that speak about iodine, and we talked a little bit about this at our lecture, but infectious disease, heavy metal toxicity, any sort of toxicity, the thyroid is extremely susceptible to toxicity.
Okay, that's interesting.
And part of the reason is that it's a highly vascularized gland, and you often see at some point if somebody is exposed, you know, to some sort of toxic exposure or really deep infection, you often see the thyroid disorder come out of that.
And I know you've commented that you see definitely a correlation between the diagnosis of Lyme disease and hypothyroidism, correct?
Absolutely. It's interesting. I've really noted that this is one of the top comorbidities that I see with a lot of the patients that I treat with Lyme disease. I can't tell you offhand how many, but oftentimes you see when you start seeing that overactive antibody response at any level of the immune system, you know, target glands are, you know, at risk. And so I think part of the reason that the thyroid ends up affecting a lot of the Lyme patients is, again, it's, you know, we're talking about a cellular, you know, aspect with this metabolic function with the thyroid. You're talking about an intracellular bacterial infection, and you know, the immune system goes haywire, and the next thing you know, the person has a problem with their
thyroid. Do more women have problems with the thyroids than men?
Typically speaking, yeah. Yes, for sure, with hypothyroidism.
Yeah.
And again, it depends on where it is in the world, but yes, I would say, and for sure, you know, I always bring it back to my own clinical practice, and I would say absolutely, I definitely have more women that have thyroid disease across the board versus men.
Right.
And what specifically is Hashimoto's? That's a type of hypothyroidism, correct?
Right. So we're not, when we're talking about the thyroid gland, we're talking in hypofunctioning particularly, you're talking about almost always, in generally speaking, two things. You're talking about either an underactive gland. So for some reason, the gland isn't, it's not as metabolic as it should be. Or you're talking about something with an immune component, and that's what Hashimoto's is. So when I was saying before about how, like, if you get exposure or infection and the gland becomes altered in this immune functionality because of this infection or some sort of an exposure, then what you're actually seeing is this antibody response, and that's what you're talking about with Hashimoto's. You're talking about an autoimmune antibody response to the
thyroid. I thought
that
was a new Mandarin restaurant. Who knew?
Great point.
So with Lyme, do you see Hashimoto's more specifically than?
Absolutely. I feel really clear that I could say that 95 to 99% of my patients that have Lyme that have a thyroid diagnosis that comes in concert with the Lyme have Hashimoto's. There's some antibody response that's going on there.
I find that in my practice, when a patient tells me I have Hashimoto's, I almost automatically think I need to make sure you're tested for Lyme.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I mean, because again, like if you were to match up Hashimoto's, you know, thyroid disease to Lyme disease, like there's a lot of crossover there. And so when I work up patients that have Lyme or when I work up patients that have thyroid, and if there is a sudden onset, I'm looking at both because you want to figure out what the cause is. Like, why do they, you know, what they had normal functioning and now they don't. And really it's an immune system issue. So if there's something that's targeting the immune system, you gotta go out and find it.
And then we have hyper, and just to briefly explain, I assume it's just the opposite. It's higher metabolic function. So
it is higher.
Weight loss. And
yes, weight loss, like real high blood pressure, you know, high pulse rate, frequent urination, sleeplessness, tremor, you know,
I imagine one someone of the about things, to blow, like someone working
it really
on overdrive.
Is. It's really, really, that person is on overdrive. And I will tell you that in my clinical practice, this can be a scary patient, and Lyme can be part of that picture too. I don't see that as much. I do have some patients in my practice that have Lyme disease and Graves' disease, and it looks close. You never know which came first, but it looks close to me that, you know, it's around the same time. So I'm feeling that the Lyme has an influence.
And Graves' disease is the form of hyperthyroidism where the eyes literally look like they're about to bulge out of the head.
Yeah. So there's this level of antibody response that's happening and causing what's referred to as exophthalmos. So you can really see, and the eyes are an interesting thing with thyroid. I wanted to mention one quick clinical thing. Sometimes you can see the lateral third of the person's eyebrow start to fade, and that can also be a clinical
symptom. The outer edge of the eyebrow fade.
Of hypothyroidism. Yes. Again, it's not diagnostic, but if you're looking at a constellation of symptoms, you're seeing this too. You add it to your list. But with Graves' disease, this needs this person needs help pretty darn quick. And they are about to blow in some cases. I would say that the cases of Graves' disease that I've had in my clinical practice are on that end of things. And the thyroid needs to be suppressed because there's too much activity. There's too much going on. And these people are at risk, I would say. The hypothyroid folks can be at risk as well. But, you know, it's not like, you know, if the person is really producing too much thyroid and their cardiac issues that are involved, and, you know, they're not going to be too happy anyhow. They're going to be in your office and telling you they're not feeling well. This is my experience with these patients.
Well, you know, what I'd like to do is to be able to keep this show short. We're going to be ending here in a moment, but we're in very quickly within the next week or so, we'll have part two out, and we're going to be speaking directly into, okay, I've been diagnosed with hyperthyroidism, hypothyroidism, Hashimoto's, whatever it is, what do I do next? Do I have to take a Western drug? Can I do something natural? What do I need to change lifestyle-wise? And I just want to end, for myself clinically, what I find from a nervous system and spinal standpoint, as you mentioned, the thyroid is from C5 to T1. There's definitely a correlation with practice members who have a loss of the healthy curve in the cervical spine. So, for example, someone, we take an x-ray, the lower part of their spine particularly is very straight, the bones, the joints are locked in position in that way. Way more correlation with seeing thyroid issues. And so from a chiropractic standpoint, obviously adjustments help the whole body to function better, including potentially the thyroid gland by reestablishing the neural connection from the bottom part of the neck. So just something interesting to think about. Even a chiropractic checkup can make a difference in the function of the thyroid.
And that's why I love integrative medicine, Dr. Jenny.
I tell you, we all work together. And I thank you. So please, listeners, catch us in a few weeks and you can hear more about what do we do about this. Till next time, be well.
You've been listening to Raw Talk about Full Potential Living for the Health of It. Your host was Dr. Jenny Brook, vitality expert and wellness chiropractor at Spinal Corrective Center in Amherst, New Hampshire. Mention this radio show and schedule a health checkup with Dr. Jenny for just $47. This is a $250 value for just $47. To schedule, call 673-5600. That's 673-5600. For more information about Spinal Corrective Center, call 673-5600 or check out spinalcorrectivecenter.com. You can also find Dr. Jenny on Facebook at Spinal Corrective Center. Thank you for listening to Raw Talk about Full Potential Living for the health of it.